Father, we thank you for music and singing, the avenue of worship that we have for you. Thank you that it's something you created that's holy and pure, and it's for the honor and glory of God. Father, thank you that how it ministers to our own heart as we are in your presence. Father, just bless. We just ask for your blessing and filling of your Holy Spirit, Lord, wisdom, and the proper presentation of this subject, Lord. Lord, I believe it's something very important. Lord, it's something that affects us. So, Lord, I pray that nothing I do today would have any negative effect, but, Lord, it would be rather to expose what needs to be exposed and enough exposure, but not too much. So, Father, just pray that you would guide us, that you would knit our hearts together, Lord, that we would be able to grasp your heart on this subject, Lord. Father, just pray that no wouldn't stir up any evil or anything that would be not good. So just pray that you'd guide us, commit it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So yeah, there again, it's just some worksheets to go along as we, to fill out as we go along here today, just for something to keep. I'm not expecting them back. I'd like to thank you all for your contributions. Not just prayer, but different ones of you all have come and given suggestions, shared questions, and given thoughts that I've found helpful. It's been helpful for me just to talk about things and to, I appreciate that. And if there's more things you all have even today or tomorrow, feel very free to offer those things. And so by way of a little bit of review, yesterday we looked at how God loves worship. How God invented singing and music, and it's in heaven. It's something that he created that we said he has an opinion on. And we looked also at what true worship really is and how it involves humility, bowing down, and the fear of God and obedience. We compared Abraham with King Saul. You remember that? Talked about how the definition of worship has the idea of a dog humbly before its master, reaching up and licking its master's hand. Those definitions entail worship. So going on today, we want to talk about worship or performance. Worship or performance. I believe if we can take yesterday's session and also take today's session, I think it gives us a lot of tools in sorting through the plethora of music that's out there. Back in August, I think it was August, we had the Minden meetings up in Ohio there that the ministers go to. And I was there, and during my time there at Minden, I felt God impress on my heart the need for worship in my personal devotions. You know how the song we had, I think last month, the memory song, it says, this one verse says, discouraged in the work of life. How's it say? Disheartened by its load, shamed by its failures and its fears, I sink beside the load. And a lot of times in the morning, I would get up and I would go out and have my devotions, but, you know, I would feel heavy. I'd feel, you know, there's a lot of work to do and, you know, messages to prepare. And there'd just be this kind of heaviness. And you just kind of just go on because you have to. And there at the meetings, it wasn't a topic that was touched on, but it came up different times, different speakers, different people I was talking to. And one brother says, you know, we worship with these people. We worship down here. And this thing of worship started coming up in my mind. I realized that, you know what? God is seeking worshipers. You know, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro to find a heart that's turned towards him. And I think along with that, you see it also in John 4. You can turn there. To the woman at the well. He says, the Father is seeking worshipers. I want to talk to us this morning about that. And my eyes were open to that. And I repented. And I sought in my heart to begin to cultivate an attitude of worship before God. And I believe that attitude of worship is a powerful thing. I believe if we take time. I did it this morning. I got up this morning and I thought about my sermon today. And I felt discouraged. I got my notes, and I was looking over my notes, and I just felt, what is this? You know, I just felt, I just felt very discouraged. And I tried to work on it. And I realized I'm not in a frame of mind to even work on this. And I set my notes aside. And I thought, just turn my heart towards God. And sang a song, a prayer to God. And just and got my thoughts at a right place. And where, and I think if we could do that in our life, I think it keeps us from getting so discouraged. I think it keeps us from getting so depressed. And the song goes on to say, but then I turned my heart towards you and all was well. I forget how, I'm sorry, Brother Rich, but as we turn our thoughts towards the Lord, things come clear and we get discernment. We get grace. We get, you know, things, the grace of God begins to flow in our life. And it's a powerful thing. And the Father is seeking worshipers. Let's read here in John 4, verse 19 through 24. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Will he find worshipers among us? Will he find those that get alone with God and love God and worship God? Reach up in humility, proper respect and reverence, but lick the Master's hand. God inhabits the praise of his people. You know, what does that speak of? That speaks of God delighting when his people worship him. Amen? He delights in that. And he wants to be where that is. He wants to live there. And if he can find it in you, he'll delight in that. Will he find one in you? He loves having fellowship with his children. I'm impressed with David. You know, David, he had a lot of difficulties in life. You can read it all through the psalm, but what do you see woven all through David's journeys of ups and downs and difficulties? You see David delighting in God's presence. He just said, I'd rather be in the temple than anywhere else. David says in Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I challenge you, young people. Learn to experience those pleasures. They satisfy the soul like nothing else. You know, young people, they there's a restlessness that can be there. But if you learn to find that fullness of joy, it satisfies your soul. And you really don't need anything else. Your needs are met in your God. At thy right hand are pleasures evermore, and the presence is fullness of joy. Full satisfaction and delight. We find that in God, and it will be a wonderful antidote to getting into wrong music. The need of our heart will be met and satisfied. Turn now, if you would, to Isaiah 8. Isaiah chapter 8, verse that that stood out to me. I listened to Harold Dean Miller's teachings on music that he gave, I think it was this year or last year, from Iowa Bible School. I listened to that and I was blessed with that. And this is one of the verses he brought out. Isaiah 8, verse 13 and 14. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense, both to the houses of Israel, for again, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I'm not going to go into what all that means there, but this word, they've said, if you fear God, you need to fear nothing else. And if we learn to know our God in the right way, what does this verse say we'll find him to be? He'll become our sanctuary. And what a blessing, young people, and all of us. It meant so much to me in my instability, in my floundering as a young Christian, to find a sanctuary in God. Find a heavenly Father that I could go to with my troubles. I knew he heard me. I knew he cared. I knew he would leave me. And I would go to him time after time again. and he became a sanctuary for my soul, a rock I could stand on, someone that I could pour out my heart to and unload my burden. And I found him to be a sanctuary. Find that in God. Find that fullness of joy in his presence. Find that pleasures at his right hand. Fully satisfied in your Lord. Your needs met. There can be a calmness and a rest in your soul and a stability that comes into your life when you find a sanctuary in God. Isn't our neglect of this, brothers and sisters, why we face so much discouragement in life? Isn't because this is one of the means of grace to God's children, why the devil fights so hard against our quiet time? Isn't this why? He wants to crowd it out. He wants to crowd it out. Because when we find this sanctuary in God, where we delight in him, so many things come right in our life. So many things come right in our life. We're talking about worship. Personal worship. In your life. Learning to experience and love the presence of God and finding a sanctuary in him is a real protection against wrong music and false worship. Because you realize God is a God to be feared. God is a holy God. God wants my heart. This music, I don't know, something just ain't right about it. Because you know what true worship is. You recognize the wrong. I'd like to read a little more in Tozer's book here. A few things on worship here. Real worship is, among other things, a feeling about the Lord our God. It is in our hearts, and we must be willing to express it in an appropriate manner. We can express our worship to God in many ways. But if we love the Lord and are led by his Holy Spirit, our worship will always bring, listen to this, our worship will always bring a delighted sense of admiring awe and a sincere humility on our part. It's not to say, I'm not saying that every quiet time you have is going to be an emotional experience. No, mine aren't. Sometimes you just do it because it's the right thing to do. But press in there and learn to delight in God's presence. God wants worshipers first. We've been hearing about soldiers. It's good. We need that. But God wants worshipers first, Tozer says. Jesus did not redeem us to make us workers. He redeemed us to make us worshipers. What is the Father seeking? Worshipers. He redeemed us to make us worshipers. Where there's a love. You know what drudgery there is when it's just a heavy load. You know. But when the love of God is in your life, when you delight in his presence, then serving him can have a joy with it. He redeemed us to make us worshipers. And then out of that blazing worship of our hearts springs our work. A few more here. The first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. He says here, just a brief statement, the presence of the Lord is the most wonderful thing in all the world. I think David would have said that too, right? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go. People who loved God's presence. You can see it in the songs and hymns that we see. The most wonderful thing in all the world. Press in there, young person, and experience the delight of God's presence. The fellowship of God is delightful beyond all telling. He communicates with his redeemed ones in an easy, uninhibited fellowship that is restful and healing to the soul. In those times, God ministers to the need of our heart. And the difficulties become okay. He brings healing to your heart. One more. I appreciate the balance in this one. Christ can never be known without a sense of awe and fear accompanying the knowledge. He is the fairest among 10,000, but he's also the Lord high and mighty. He's the friend of sinners, but he's also the terror of the devils. He's the meek and lowly in heart, but he's also the Lord and Christ who will surely come to judge all men. No one who knows him intimately can ever be flippant in his presence. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 21. Okay. I want to talk here a little bit about babes and birds. Sincerity and purity in worship. This is a story here in Matthew 21, verse 12. It says, Jesus went to the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the changers of money, tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. I get the picture of a flea market. Or maybe, you know, we have the 127 yard sales, and there's just some tents, and there's just table after table after table in there. And just the hubbub and the people shopping and all that. I get the picture. That's maybe how the temple looked. Tables, seats, selling all kinds of stuff. Birds. And money changers. And it was a marketplace. And what did Jesus do? He went in there and he cleaned house. He cleaned house. And he restored the temple of God back to what God meant for it to be. And what happened? All the hubbub and all that was out. And now, if you read on there, it says the lame and the blind were brought in the temple to Jesus. And what did he do? He healed them. And then it says the children begin to sing. Now, I don't know what it looked like, but maybe the children, you know, maybe their grandma who was blind for years. Jesus, she was brought in there and Jesus healed her. Now grandma can see. Maybe uncle who had a messed up hip and he couldn't walk. They hauled him in there and he healed uncle. And now the children are worshiping him. They're crying in verse 15 saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. And the chief priests were sore displeased and the scribes. And Jesus said unto them, verse 16, Hearest thou what these say? And they said that. You know, this is not proper. And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? Why was the praise of the children perfect praise, brothers and sisters? Why was it? It was pure. What was that? No performance. What someone else said? Sincere. Yeah, they were just excited about what Jesus did, right? And they were just singing about it and just hailing his praises. I don't, you know, they probably weren't even really thinking about themselves, right? Children don't really do that normally. Children can perform. They can be pretty good performers. But in this picture, you see sincerity and purity. I'll just show you a little video clip here, one that we took way back. I happened to find it. And I hope the volume's okay. But this is a picture, I think, of what maybe that looked like. If it'll play here.
Our daughter. You're singing.
Oh, come on, Victor. Okay, all right. Well, I thought I had it right. Give me a moment here. I thought I'd set that right. It was working earlier, wasn't it, Ben? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying about the sound. Okay, all right. Sounds fine. Okay. I'll back it up. Okay, this is Jubilee, and this is 2015. And she's singing.
You're singing.
Hallelujah. She's singing Hallelujah, of course, I think. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, that's perfection praise.
You're trying to sing the Hallelujah chorus. Amen. Okay, well, it's good hearing you sing this morning, precious, okay? I'm going to go. Amen. That's wonderful. We need to sing to Jesus, right? Jesus. Amen. Daddy, what is that? Is it no-no? Okay. Okay, well, I'm going to go out and do the chores now. Okay, bye.
Bye.
So I just thought that might be a demonstration of maybe a little bit of what Jesus was talking about, like perfect praise. You know, no thoughts of herself, just singing because she wanted to sing. And here's a picture of a bird. I have it for the desktop background now instead of a bunch of steak. That might not be the steak was on there. And it's a butcher shop laptop and had steak on the background. But maybe it isn't a very good thing to show when you're fasting. But, you know, I thought about birds. There's this mockingbird that lives around our house there. And in the summer mornings, it'll be still pitch dark outside. There's this mockingbird that sings and sings and sings. And I don't think it's, no one is around it hearing it. I mean, sometimes we hear it, but it's just out there singing to the glory of God. And it's just, I believe God's pleased with that kind of just sincere praise. So in our worship, who is being exalted? Ourselves? Or are we singing from the heart to the Lord? You know, we compare this with concerts and modern amphitheaters and putting on a show. Birds and babes don't do that. Birds and babes don't do that. Okay, I'm supposed to be done at 11:40, right? Yeah, okay. So, you keep moving. We talked a little bit yesterday about comparing worship with a young lady. And just the simplicity and purity. And when there starts to be, you know, this added and this poof of the hair and a little glitter here and a bow and a ribbon and these adjustments, we begin to question, what is there some motive behind that? I'd like to talk a little bit about the importance of separation in worship. And get this here. Many groups, instead of having a simple, childlike, or bird-like, if I can say that, attitude in their singing with a sincere focus on honoring God. Instead, they have their focus, I believe, on some other group, right? Or other worldly style of singing and are copying them in an effort to promote themselves. Did you get that? Shall I read it again? So many groups, instead of having a simple, childlike, bird-like attitude in their singing with a sincere focus on honoring God, instead have their focus on some other worldly group or style of singing and are copying them in order to promote themselves. When we're focusing on trying to be like someone else, you know, if I get up here, I'd try to preach like Brother Denny. You know, it just wouldn't really work, right? There's something about just being humble and being ourselves that makes it meaningful. When our focus is on trying to be like some other group, our worship ceases to be pure. God was always after a pure and separated people. And I believe in our worship of Him, it's very important that we be separate. Amen? You know, if separation applies anywhere, shouldn't it apply to our worship of God? Yes. Yes, the downfall of Israel over and over in the Old Testament was adopting the idolatrous practices of worship around them. Right? They're copying the way the world worshiped. And that was over and over. I believe we're not exempt from that today. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Second Corinthians 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I believe, brothers and sisters, if we understood just a little of the evil origins and agendas behind this world's music, we wouldn't want to touch it with a stick. I got sick and tired of studying in some of that junk. I did. I quit. It's horrible. Absolutely horrible. And the openness they say about what they're about. But here's what's a burden on my heart. You have that out there. You have the secular groups out there who are very open and honest about their evil agendas. They are. They'll say it. They'll sing about it. It's horrible. But then you have the Christian groups who are what? Copying them. And then you have a cappella groups who are copying them. And then God's people buy their music and listen to it. And it's not pure, separated worship. There are strings attached all the way back the line. Right? There's strings attached all the way back the line. And it moves us in that direction. And it fosters the same cool, casual, and rebellious spirit. You have the country music out there with its sensual, fleshly message. And then you have Christian groups who copy the same style and performance. And God's people buy their music and listen to it. And it's not pure, separated worship. It connects us with the stuff it's copied, that it's copied from, and moves us in that direction, away from a pure, holy, separated life. What I've noticed as I studied this, and I didn't say it near like, you know, some have. There's way more. I don't feel like I'm at all authority on it, but I did do some studying. And what I saw in this is not only do the people that feed on music tend to move, right, towards that. The groups themselves move, right? The group, you see them, they move. People listen to it, they move. You have the Southern Gospel groups and the Bluegrass groups who put on their, what I call, let's have a good old time concerts. And then you have the conservative Christians who are feeding on them and then put on their own little programs and recordings, trying to copy them. And it's not a pure, separated worship. It connects us with the stuff that's being copied and it moves in that direction and it breeds a casual, shallow Christianity without the fear of God. Who are we emulating? Who are we feeding on? And who are we admiring? Who really is being worshipped? Who really is being worshipped? You know, that the verse there in Romans 1 stood out to me many times. It says, who worship and serve the creature more than the creator. Listen to that bass. You know, hear that. You know, who really is being worshipped and given worth? Okay, turn to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verse 12. We know the story here. This is what I want to call the downfall of the first of many musicians. The downfall of the first of many musicians. Pride and self-exaltation. Why does Satan get kicked out of heaven? Well, it's because of pride and self-exaltation. Shouldn't that make us fear and tremble as we think about this subject? As we think about worshiping God? As we think about singing? Shouldn't that make us tremble? Excuse me. Let's read here in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as a raiment of those that are slain, thrust through the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of the evildoers shall never be renowned. Satan, the first musician. Remember we read yesterday about how he was built in with instruments of music for the worship of God. But it seemed like there came a time when he, instead of worshiping God, began to take that glory to himself and seek to exalt himself. And he was the first of many musicians to fall to the sin of pride. And the Lord removed him from his presence. This can hit pretty close to home with us. I was listening to Kevin Lease, I think is his name, Lease, or I think it's Lease. He is an Anabaptist brother who spoke this year, actually, up in Michigan at a series of weekend of meetings up there on the topic of music. And his family, they sing. And he confessed that when they needed more amplification, so they got a sound system, and they were going around singing and practicing. And he confessed how this subtle thing came in here. He was a bass singer, right? And he realized that he could, how he held that mic and how he adjusted his mic on the mixing board and all that, he could really make this thing go. And just the pride that he felt creeping into his own heart with this thing of singing. Musicians need to beware of Satan's downfall. God says, I'm the Lord. That is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. Neither my praise to graven images. Revelations 19, I think I have this in your paper there. An angel who's higher in might than we are. In Revelation, John says he fell at his feet to worship him at the angel. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren that have a testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So, this is the part that I tremble at now. But I plan to show some demonstrations here and hope it's not offensive to you. I don't have anything real radical and far out there. They're all Christian groups. And I would say, as far as what's out there under Christianity, it's on the tame side. But remember that we're talking about who's being exalted. Is this worship? It's a performance. And I don't want to judge wrongly. I don't want to. God knows the heart. And some of these people we will look at, they may have a very genuine heart. And I believe some do. Some of them preach. Some of them are involved in ministries. And God may use them. But my concern is that it's not that it's connected to other. And it tends to move people in what I believe is not a good direction. And so I'm not talking about right or wrong styles of music. It's just going to be more in the focus of comparing worship with performance. So I don't have a slide. I just have, I'll have a few pictures here first. Let me make this thing bigger. This is a Christian concert. And you know, where did they get these ideas from, how to do this? The smoke and the lights and all that. Where did they learn that from? I'm afraid they were looking at the secular groups. So if this is too much, just bear with me. I'm sorry. This is a Gaither. This is a Gaither group. I'm not going to judge. You can form your own thoughts there. But here's another one here. And this is, he's with the Gaither Vocal Band, or he was. I don't know if it's still alive or not. But what's a little shocking here is Bill himself comes
back
on there.
In the early 80s, I met a young, energetic powerhouse of a singer named Bill Guy Penrod. And while we knew one another and worked together briefly, Guy spent the next years backing up some of Nashville's most well-known gospel and country artists as a studio singer. Later, he was part of the daily television program called Music City Tonight. The show ended in 1994. Within a few months, he joined the Gaither Vocal Band as our new lead singer.
Well, I had my share of troubles and trials.
Guy became a defining influence as the long-standing lead singer for the Gaither Vocal Band.
I'm gonna sing just as long as it takes for a song to mix that heavy spirit free.
Since that time, this lightning rod of a man has been embraced by audiences all over the world and has become one of the most recognizable artists in gospel music today.
Christ is our reason and love.
So I, in some ways this might seem far out, but in a way, brothers, it's not. It's just a click away if you go on YouTube. And I'm not convinced that our people are completely exempt from some of this type of stuff. And that's why I wrestled with presenting this, because I know this might be shocking to some of us, but I feel like it needs to be said. And it'll get hopefully get tamer as we go along here. This was more with the Gaithers here. But then we have the Southern Gospel groups. And they're not that bad, right? And they may not all be that bad. But I mentioned just the lighthearted, let's have a good old time, mix a little preaching in there with it, give an altar call. But yet the whole spirit of the thing is, I don't think is good. And then what happens then, we have some of our a cappella friends that I'm afraid get some ideas from some of that. So I have one here of the Cathedrals. It's a very poor quality video. It's from long ago.
This old house.
But he sings there.
This old house. to, but this old house was for my wife. This old house was the home and comfort that we thought was all the life. This old house was the rank of the laughter. This old house heard many shouts. Now she trembles in the darkness when the night comes about. Ain't no gonna need this house no longer. Ain't no gonna need this house no more. This old house is a getting shaky. This old house is a getting old. This old house lets in the rain. This old house lets in the cold. All my knees are getting chilly, but I feel no fear of pain. Cause I see an angel peeking through a broken window pane. Ain't it gonna leave this house no longer?
I'll jump to the end here. So I'll let you all make judgments. But in this here, my concern is that I think some of this bleeds into some of our a cappella groups we have today. And maybe it's not that style completely, but yet there's still some flavor there. Okay. Let's keep going here. A few more. And just keep coming closer to home here. And again, we're still talking about performance.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come and let your glory, come and let your glory fall. Our Father, who art in heaven, the rocks cry out.
I always go to the very end of that song here. Same song here, just the end of it now. That's Garments of Praise, by the way. And in their defense, I'll say that I think a lot of that clapping that was going on there at that concert was non-Anabaptist people. Other concerts that I've watched of them, there wasn't that. And I think there were some people there with no head coverings. And so it may have been started by that, but it seemed like they kind of soaked it up too. So here's, I'll do one more. That was the same song, just broken half there. Here's one more of them that I'll do.
When I get to heaven, gonna walk with Jesus. When I get to heaven, gonna see his face. When I get to heaven, gonna talk with Jesus, saved by his wonderful grace. When I get to heaven, gonna walk with Jesus. When I get to heaven, gonna see his face. When I get to heaven, gonna talk with Jesus, saved by his wonderful grace. Saved, saved, wonderful he's saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm saved, saved, wonderful he's saved, and I'm so glad I am. When I get to heaven, gonna walk with Jesus. When I get to heaven, gonna see his face. When I get to heaven, gonna talk with Jesus, saved by his wonderful, saved by his marvelous, saved by his wonderful grace. Oh, I'm going higher someday.
Yeah, I'll just stop it with that. But, yeah, motive. In music, more is caught than taught. There's something. Music has body language. You know, I can stand here and I can say, a dog can tell you, right? Depending on how you talk to a dog, you can say the same words, but depending on how you say the words, it says something. And so To me, there's maybe a lack of the fear of God and reverence in that there. And I'll have a few more. These are just audio clips here. Okay. This is Hillel.
He has cared in our humanity so that by his death he might defeat the dreadful one who holds the power of death. He has freed us all from slavery, for we all have lived our lives in fear, the gripping fear of suffering and death.
I got one more here of the same group.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in, oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Through the sun sets free, oh, it's free.
So we also talked about separation and purity in our worship. And I don't know, maybe that really ministers to you. But I know to a lot, though, they've had a concern with that, about just the purity of sound. And just, I don't know, maybe just not really being at rest with the Spirit. I have a book, I'll pass it out tomorrow, a booklet for each of you all to have, you students at least. He says in there that discernment in music is not so much as having the giftings, but of spiritual discernment. And some of the earlier groups of Hillel, they don't have that sound. But the more recent, there's just more of that. It just, it doesn't seem to have a pure sound, at least to me. They may be completely sincere in what they're doing. But I just have a caution. I believe it's crossover music. It's a bridge to the real, which is not even the real. There's a real beyond that yet. And here's one here that is not bad at all. But it's one of these situations where the people moved. The first recording had a nice pure sound. Second one, there's these little poofs, frills, bows, glitters. Listen to it here. And the sad thing is, this sister traveled on and she's in horrible places today. Listen close. You begin to wonder, why? And what's the motive and where is it going? And here, at the end here, I'll just play something I think is acceptable. And has
immortal,
I think it's just a more pure, worshipful sound.
He lies inaccessible from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious,
time. time's up. So I'd like to encourage us to sing. Sing. Be a worshiper of God. Be a little jubilee. Be a little bird. Get alone with God. Learn to delight in His presence. And come before Him with pure, heartfelt love and affection. So God bless you all, and I'll close with that.